Welcome, and thanks for tuning in to the Sunday morning message at Bayleaf Baptist Church. Bayleaf Baptist Church is under the leadership of Pastor Marty Jackman. Our Sunday morning services meet at 8:30, 9:45, and 11 o'clock a.m. Join us now as we dive into God's Word.
Take your Bibles, and we're going to continue speaking on worship today. And I'm going to take you to the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation. And some Bibles, I think, have said, as human authors had put in subtitles, it will say the prophecy of John, or the revelation of John. Actually, it's the revelation of Christ written by John. And you can turn to the last chapter, chapter 22. And I want to bring you a message that goes hand in hand with exactly what we have done. And that is, come to the Lord's table. And I've entitled this message, Worship the Returning King. Worship the Returning King. You know, when Jesus, when he instituted the Lord's Supper, he said that every time you come before this table, it is an act of worship. It's also an act of proclamation, because he said, each time you come before the table, you proclaim my death until I come again. So even in the Lord's Supper, there is that promise that Christ is coming back. That's why it's important for us to worship together. That's why it's important for us to gather around the table together. And that's why we put such an emphasis to you, that we believe gathering together corporately on a regular basis, you need that. I need that. We need that as the body of Christ, because it reminds us, we remind one another that Christ is coming back. And we're going to read the words here of the Apostle John that receives this reminder, this message from an angel, where it said, the words of the Lord said, I am coming quickly. And so I want us today to remember and to worship the fact that he is our King, but that he is our returning King. And let's look at the worship of the Apostle John, and let's be informed by it. Let's be challenged by it. Perhaps even today we've got to be corrected in our thoughts and our ideas of worship as we worship the returning King. I'm going to follow along. I'm going to begin in verse 6. Of Revelation chapter 22. It says, then he, that would be the angel, then he said to me, these words are faithful and true. Now this is coming near the end of the prophecy. So he has given a prophecy about what will happen in the last days, what will happen of the church, what will happen of those who've rejected Christ, what will happen during a time of tribulation, what will happen when Christ raptures his church, what will happen when he returns again. And then he says, these words are faithful and true. The Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, has sent his angel to show his servants what must soon take place. Look, I am coming soon. Blessed is the one who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things. When I heard and saw them, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who had shown them to me. But he said to me, don't do that. I am a fellow servant with you, your brothers, the prophets, and those who keep the words of this book. Then is a command, worship God. Then he said to me, don't seal up the words of the prophecy of this book, because the time is near. Let the filthy still be filthy. Let the righteous go on in righteousness, and let the holy still be holy. Then the promise again, look, I am coming soon, and my reward is with me to repay each person according to his work. I want us very quickly. I know what the time is. Hold on just a moment. I want us to look at this true worship experience that we see the Apostle John go through, have. Let's be corrected by it, but let's see and let's be challenged in our worship of the Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, notice his immediate worship. I love this. It's when the angel says, "The Lord has sent me to tell you, I am coming soon." And immediate at that proclamation, when he was told that, it says in verse 8, "I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things. When I heard and saw them, I fell down to worship." You know, John is now an older man. It's been roughly 60 years since he walked with the Lord upon the earth, since he had the Last Supper with him. You know, John, he writes of himself, the apostle whom Jesus loved. There's a special connection there between Jesus and the apostle John. So for 60 years, he has remembered those days that he had with Christ. He has remembered as he sought to equip the church and to fulfill the Great Commission, but he's remembered that time that he had with Christ, and now he hears the message where he says, "I am coming again soon," and his immediate response, it didn't have to be manufactured, it didn't have to be drummed up, but his immediate response to the fact that Christ is coming back is he fell down to worship. He longed to see his face. He longed to touch him here upon the earth once again. And he was so excited when he heard the message that Christ is coming back. He fell down to worship. You know, I think that's what you see so much in the first century church. When you read about what they did, their hearts, they believed with all of their minds that Christ could come back at any time. We talk about the imminent return of Christ. They believed that they would see it in their lifetime. And because they believed that, it changed their passions, it changed their priorities, it changed who they are and what they did, because they knew Christ was coming back. Now, what's the difference in the church today? You know, so I think it's because, you know, time passes. You know, it's been 2,000 years since the promise was made that he is coming again. And so often we don't prioritize our life with the fact that he is coming back. Oftentimes we live our days and we don't even contemplate and meditate and think about the fact that Christ is coming again. And because of that, it hinders our worship and it messes up our priorities here upon this earth and in this life. You know, we need to be challenged by that. We need to remember, you know, Will, as we've talked about this among the staff this morning, you know, Will reminded us that listen, the Bible says that for the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years and 1,000 years is like a day. He said, you know, in some ways, Christ just made this promise 2 days ago. And we don't know how long it will be. We don't know if it will be in our lifetime or at some time to come. But we know that Christ is coming again. But if we truly believed it could be any moment, it would change how we live our lives. His immediate response when he heard Christ was coming again was to fall down and worship. And if we believed that it could happen at any moment, we wouldn't have to drum up worship. It would be literally defining who we are and how we live our lives every day. It would be a heart of worship because our Christ, our Messiah, is coming again. His immediate worship. But we've got to hit this because this is the downside of it. His corrected worship. Now we've got to take this, I believe, as a warning for us, because when we talk about worship, worship for us is designed for one person, and that is God. But if we allow anything in our lives to take preeminence, to take what we're most passionate about, to take our time and our efforts far above what we give to Christ, we are putting that thing or that person in a place of worship. Now let's read what happens here. When the angel tells John, the Lord said he's coming again quickly. Notice what it says, continuing in verse 8. When I heard and saw them, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who had shown them to me. Well, what does the angel say? Stop! Don't do that. I just picture the angel going, stop! Get up! You're not going to worship me. Yeah, John was a little bit hard-headed. He had tried this before. Go back to chapter 19. In chapter 19, verse 9, again, talking about a time when John would be with Christ at the marriage supper of the Lamb, he says, then he said to me, write, blessed are those invited to the marriage feast of the Lamb. He also said to me, these words of God are true. Then I fell at his feet to worship him, but he said, don't do that. I think the angel's saying, I remember the last time an angel sought to be worshiped, it didn't work out so well. That angel's name was Lucifer. You're not going to worship me. Don't do that. I am your fellow servant. I'm a fellow servant. I'm the word angelos, messenger. He said, I am simply here to bring the message. Now, here's why I say we have to be warned here. Because if we're not careful, because the angels are good things, right? I mean, they are good. But even this angelic being says, I'm not to be worshiped. So it wasn't that these were bad things. This was something very good. But we tend to put very good things in a place only reserved for God. If we're not careful, we can elevate relationships with one another. We can elevate our family. We can elevate hobbies. We as a church can elevate traditions above. That's what I saw when I saw in Germany in the Reformation, where tradition was put on an equal level with the words of Christ. We have to be very careful that we don't elevate good things into a place that's only reserved for God. That's why our relationship with God should come above and take preeminence over any relationship we have on this earth, whether it be our spouse, whether it be our children, whether it be our friends, our parents. Christ should be the preeminent in our lives, and our worship should be for Him and Him alone. You know, we're created to worship. That's how God's created us. So you're going to worship something. So what each of us must do is examine our hearts and say, God, what am I worshiping? Am I putting someone or something above my devotion to you? Am I putting stuff above my devotion for you? Am I putting my children above my devotion for you? Because just as the angel said, don't worship me, the angel understood. The Bible says our God's a jealous God. That's why in Exodus chapter 20, when he's giving the Ten Commandments, you will have no other gods before me. So let's take time to examine our lives and say, God, is there anything I've put in this place that should only be reserved for you? Are you preeminent in my life? Are you what I'm most passionate about? Are you what I love the most? Oh, his worship had to be corrected. And it serves as a warning to the church today. Maybe our worship today needs to be corrected. The third and final aspect is this: his worship proclaimed Christ's return. His worship proclaimed, and that's exactly what we said about the table. We do that. We proclaim his death, burial, and resurrection until he comes again. But notice what it says is when you see the book of Revelation, is he's given this revelation, and it talks, I mentioned earlier, about the end times, about the church, about those who have turned away from Christ, about what will happen in the millennial reign. So he gives this prophecy, but then notice I told Will today, I said, it's like this is the final Great Commission reminder in the New Testament. As he says in verse 10, then he said to me, don't seal up the words of this prophecy, a prophecy of this book. What's he saying? We don't gather here and take this prophecy and get in a little holy huddle here and understand we're the only ones that have it. No, he says, don't seal it up. It means take this prophecy, fulfill the Great Commission, go out into all the world and take this message that I am coming again, but that I've made a way for people to be redeemed from their sins. He says, take this, don't seal it up, but take it into the world. And then he says something, if we're not careful, why is that there? He says, as he continues, he says, let the filthy still be filthy. Let the righteous go on in righteousness. Let the holy still be holy. Look, I am coming again soon, and my reward is with me to repay each person according to his work. What's he saying here? He's saying, don't seal up the words of this prophecy, because there is a world out there that needs to know of my redemption. But the time is coming when it will be too late. The time is coming when there will be a fixed state of either righteousness through Christ or rejection of Christ. At that moment, there is no turning around. And he says, because of that judgment that's going to come, make sure you don't seal up the words of these books, this book, but make sure you tell it to every. And you know, again, I say that telling people about Christ is truly an act of worship. Because when we tell others about Christ, it shows how much we love Christ. It shows how much he means to us. And as humans, we understand that. Because we tell others about our family. We tell others about our children. And heaven forbid when we get grandchildren, then we really tell the world about these that we love so much. So doesn't it make sense? And it maybe gets back to our question of who we worship. If we love Christ as preeminent in our life, we will tell others about him. Amen. So he says, don't seal it up, but make sure you tell others. This past week, my nephew Landon had his 7th birthday, and our grandson Brody, who's 3, I mean, they're like from the same mold. And Brody just looks up to his cousin. I mean, he thinks he hung the moon. So Brody knew that Landon was coming to visit. So every time I saw Brody throughout the entire day, Papa, Landon's coming. Papa, Landon's coming. I mean, he'd see me 5 minutes later. Papa, Landon's coming. He thinks I'm really losing my mind here. Because it's like every few minutes, he reminded me that Landon was coming. And later that night, Landon was going back home. I was reflecting on this text and this message. And I just said, Lord, I wish I was more like that. I wish I was more overwhelmed and excited because you've said you're coming again. And I wish I was so overwhelmed in that I would just, Jesus is coming. He's coming again. He's coming. He said he's coming again. But yet I know in my own heart there can be so much apathy for the return of Christ because we don't think of it often and we don't prioritize our life and our dreams and our hopes to understand he is coming again. You know, he is our returning king and we are to worship him and he is to be first. So let us all be challenged. And let us all have as the passion of our life the fact that he's coming again and we'll see him again one day. Let's pray together.
Thank you for listening. We hope your heart was blessed and encouraged by today's message. For more information on the ministries at Bayleaf Baptist Church, visit us on the web at www.bayleaf.org or give us a call, 919-847-4477. Thanks again, and have a blessed day.